Romans chapter 1 in your New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, and then the letter or epistle to the Romans. So good to see you this morning. What a joy it is to my heart to see your smiling faces and to see your desire to be here to worship the Lord and to praise Him and to draw closer to Him. That is a real joy to this pastor, and I count it a privilege to be here with you today and an honor. I hope many of you are just encouraged today. I hope you're, as some would say, maybe I could word it this way, I hope you're in a good mood. Hope you're in a good mood. Sometimes we're not in good moods, are we? You know, we can be moody people, can we not? I just know we can. My mind was renewed in that awareness the other day when one of my kids, it happened to be Valentine's, and I'm not going to name which one, but it was Valentine's morning, and you know, which is supposed to be, you know, kind of a, it's supposed to be a good morning, right? And I bought some balloons and, you know, hanging chairs and had some candy and things out and thought it would be an encouragement, but there just didn't seem to be a real encouragement to this one. And the morning went along as they're getting ready for school, and I just made the comment, and I probably shouldn't have said it like this. Maybe I was being a little too sarcastic, and I said, you know, I don't think I've ever met someone who was grumpy on Valentine's Day. And this one kid looked at me and says, well, you have now. I couldn't help but laugh. We laugh together, in fact. Well, you have now. Okay. All right. Moving right along. Enjoy the balloons. Amen. Well, the Lord's good. Thank Him for it. We're in Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. And we're going to read just the first verse. We've preached the first part of this verse last week, and we're going to continue on in the next few phrases of verse 1. The Bible says, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. Would you pray with me, church? Father, I am so thankful for You, so thankful for Your Word. I am very grateful for the Spirit of God, and I am asking You to meet with us this morning like I believe You already have. I do sense Your presence, and I'm thankful for that. And I do pray that I would do nothing to grieve your presence. And I just want You to have Your way in my heart. And Lord, in the hearts that are represented here and those that are listening live stream, Lord, do a deep work in each of our lives for Your glory. And we'll be very careful to give You the praise. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ. That is what we saw Paul introduce himself as in the beginning of this letter. That's what he wanted to emphasize, that he was first and foremost a servant of Jesus Christ. We saw that word servant means bond servant or slave. In fact, it's interesting if you'll note in 1 Corinthians 4 when he's talking about the fact that he is a minister or a servant, a slave, that word is used in the context of the Greek word is the slaves that were used at the bottom of the ships to do the rowing. It was the lowest part of the ship. It was the most dangerous part of the ship. It was the most unpopular part of the ship. And that is where Paul declared himself to be for the Lord Jesus Christ. He counted it an honor and a joy. He was not ashamed of that position. And so we're not going to preach that again, but that is indeed a volunteer act of Paul, that he wanted to love his master and he wanted to be a faithful slave of the wonderful, righteous, pure, just, and lovely Jesus Christ. And so we see that beginning, he introduces himself as servant. And then I want us to focus on the next part. It then says, called to be an apostle. We'll look at that phrase. And then he goes on to say, separated unto the gospel of God. You see, Paul states here in this first verse to this letter the whole purpose of his life. And you know, I love it when God puts the songs together with the message. We don't get together and organize that. Every once in a while, I'll request a song with Brother Mike. But God orchestrates the song, even the song that the lady sang together, the special, My Life to Count for Christ. Because that's really what I want to talk about this morning, the purpose of Paul's life. But more importantly, I probably should say this, what we should really think about is not just the purpose of Paul's life, but what is the purpose of your life? And I hope that you at least know something about that. If not, you are fully aware of what God is doing in your life. And nevertheless, I'm going to mention some things this morning that I hope will be a help and an encouragement. You know, the Westminster Shorter Catechism said this in its first statement, the question, they're all questions and they have a short answer. And the first question of that catechism is this: what is the chief end of man? What is the chief end or the main purpose of man's life? And the answer is biblical and accurate when it says man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. And I believe that as we look to Paul's life, we see a man who was a servant, a slave of God, and his whole purpose was to glorify his Master, his King, his Lord, his Savior. You see, we are very aware of Paul's testimony, and I'm thankful he opened it up with this, because I believe it sets the stage for the whole book. It sets the stage for these Roman believers who were mainly slaves at this time and who were Gentiles. And just letting them know up front that Paul was a man that could be trusted. A man that was humble, yet a man being used of the Lord. So, we saw last week that he was first a servant to his Savior. Now I want us to see, number one, if you're taking notes, that Paul was called to be an apostle. Paul was called to be an apostle. Notice that word called there, right after Jesus Christ. The word called there is used in the context of being invited, being beckoned, if you will, to come. It's an invitation compelling someone, let's go. We have a mission, a purpose. There's a calling on Paul's life. It does not mean in the sense that Paul was just called an apostle. Okay? It's just like, I'm called Brinson or Pastor Jennings and you can use your name. You're called this or that. That's not what this called here is referring to. It's talking about a calling from God to Paul himself. And I do want us to realize this morning as we look at Paul's calling to be an apostle, do you know that you also have a calling on your life? God has a special call for everyone in this room. In fact, what's amazing about the call is God had put this call on your life even before you were born. God had your purpose planned out before you were even thought of on this earth by other human beings. God had you on His heart and mind. God, from eternity past, my friend, had you on His heart and mind and had a plan for your life. I believe that because Galatians 1:15, when Paul gave testimony of his calling and his purpose, you know what he said? He said this, "But when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by His grace." You know, Jeremiah gives a similar testimony when God was calling him in Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 5. Listen to this. He says, "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee." Wow. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. That word sanctified is to be set apart for a specific purpose. And he said, I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. The calling of God this morning. What an act of grace. You know, the Lord not only saves us, and He gives that call to all. Come unto me, all the ends of the earth, and be ye saved, is the message of God from the Bible. That's what we're announcing to Jackson County, or Athens-Clark, and to Hall, and the surrounding counties. We're surrounding that call that God gives, and there will be many that will receive that call. There will be many that reject it. But the fact of the matter is, God gives that call to all to be saved, but then He not only does that, He has a call on your life to serve Him once you are a Christian. Once you realize He's your Savior and you receive Him by faith, then you need to realize that that's only the beginning of the life that God has planned for you and for me. It's an awesome call. We see through Scripture that there is a, what I call to Christians, a universal call. In other words, when you become a Christian, there are specific commands that we see in a lot of the epistles that is a call upon every single Christian without exception. It's the same for every one of us. For instance, I think about the call to be holy. God calls us to, Brother Caleb taught us this morning in class about how we are to be separate in the sense of our lives here on earth in preparation for God's coming so others can be prepared for His coming. But the fact of the matter is, I think about the call to be holy people. And you all that are reading through the Old Testament right now, you've noticed as we've gone through, especially Leviticus, and now Numbers, you will see it often come up, the fact that I have called you to be a separate people, a unique people, different from all the other nations. And that call has not changed even for the church. He's calling the people, His children of the church, to be different than the world, to look different, to talk different, to be different. In fact, my former pastor, he preached here several weeks ago, Brother Stevens, he always tells me that before we get off the phone. All right. He says, all right, you know, love you. He says, be different. And that's usually the last thing I hear Brother Stevens say, be different. And I think that is a call of God upon your life and my life. We need to be different. We need to be unique in such a way that draws people to Christ. But nevertheless, there's that universal call to be holy. In fact, if you just want to jot these verses down, I'm not going to have you turn to them because I do want to give us time for the message. But we notice in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, he says this in verse number 7. He says, for God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. There's a universal call to all believers. If you're here this morning, God is calling you to separate from sinful activity, sinful thinking. And God is doing that in all of our lives. But also, there's a general call that goes, a universal call that goes to all believers in the context of suffering. Now you say, now Pastor, I came this morning to get encouraged. Please don't tell me that we're all called to suffer. But brethren, we have to think of that in light of our Savior. He suffered so that we could be set free. He suffered so that we could be righteous. He suffered so that we would get the victory. He suffered so that we could have true joy. And though suffering is not fun at the moment, and it's not necessarily enjoyable, ladies and gentlemen, suffering is indeed a calling and worthy of the Lamb of God who suffered for us. You know, Peter tells us, you don't have to go there, I'll read it, but in 1 Peter 2:21, we see the call to suffer. He says, for even hereunto, and these are talking to believers that are under persecution, people that are being locked up, people that are being beat and killed, people that are just truly being persecuted. And this is what the Word of God is to them. He says, for even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that ye should follow his steps. You see, that is indeed the goal of the believer is there's a call to suffer. And God gives us the grace to suffer, by the way. He doesn't say do it alone. Paul learned that, didn't he, by the thorn in the flesh? And he was wanting God to remove that. And basically God told him in short, I'm not going to remove it, Paul, but I want to tell you something. My grace is going to be sufficient for thee. To help him with that thorn and that flesh, that type of suffering. But you know, those of you that are currently suffering or have suffered and will suffer, let me give you a bit of encouragement that goes along with that. I'm not going to preach on this point because we're going to get to it eventually in Romans chapter 8. It says this in reference to the suffering believer. Let me read this to you. It says in Romans chapter 8, verse 19, it says for the, verse 18, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time, now get this, are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. You understand that correlation there, that connection with suffering. God has made a promise to us believers that the suffering that you are experiencing now because of the sin curse on mankind that each of us are facing every day and every week, the suffering that we will experience will not be compared to the glory that God will give to His children who stay faithful. Who remain steadfast. Because it says right there in the same verse that we are joint heirs with Christ. And He says, if we suffer together, we shall also be glorified together. And brethren, you may ask me, what exactly does that mean? I want to tell you very transparently and honestly, I don't really know. But I do know this. I believe the Word of God when it says, whatever it means to be glorified with Christ and to be glorified because of our current sufferings, I believe Him that He says it's not worthy to be compared of what you will receive in eternity. That goes for physical suffering. That goes for emotional suffering. That goes for suffering in general as a believer for the cause of Christ. Any way you can apply that to your life, my friends, it will not be in vain. Stay faithful. Let the suffering have its work in your life. And you will be glorified together with Christ because of it. But we'll preach more on that when we get to Romans chapter 8. But moving right along, there is a calling to suffer. I don't want to go into this one, but there's a calling to faith. The Bible says in Hebrews that Abraham was called to go out by faith, not knowing where he was going. We are continually, every day, being called to be people that walk by faith. You say, Pastor, I have no idea where I'm going to be tomorrow. Can I say this? Good. Because sometimes we try to figure too much out, church. There's nothing wrong with planning, nothing wrong with dreaming, but folks, let's think about this. We walk by faith and not by sight. And God Almighty is calling each of us as His children to live by faith, to take each day, not knowing what a day may bring, but knowing that God is faithful and He will lead us. And that's the universal call. And I could go through more, but I don't want to belabor the point. But you understand there's a universal call upon each of the believer's life. But then there's a specific call. Paul had a specific call, and that call was to be an apostle. Now, what does this word apostle mean? Well, in the most general sense, this word means sent one. One who is sent. That's the most general sense that you can give this term that we find throughout the Word of God. But it goes much deeper than that when it's used specifically in this context. And that is, this is a special and unique office that was placed upon only a few. To be exact, 13. We know the apostles that were chosen by Christ. And then we have Paul, who would be the 13th apostle. And we understand that this was a divine call upon these men. And let me tell you that Paul was just as much an apostle as Peter was. And we understand that he was not glorifying this office. He was not bragging. Hence, the beginning, a servant of Jesus Christ. And he did not use that office to his advantage, as many would accuse him of, as he would defend his apostleship there in the book of Corinthians. He would often make some comments just to thwart off the accusers, the antagonizers. But nevertheless, he used it for the glory of God. He was an apostle of God. It is interesting in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, he uses it in many of his epistles. He opens it up with something like this. Paul called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ, and I love this, through the will of God. It wasn't God's choosing. It wasn't Paul's choosing. It was God's choosing. And I hope that we can all get to that place in our life. When the call of God, when it comes to the call of God on your life and my life, I hope we can come to the place and say, God, I don't want to choose my life. I want you to choose it. You've got it planned. You've got it picked out. Lord, I want your call to be done in my life. And when you do that, I want to tell you that you will find that that will set your heart at liberty. Because you're entrusting God with your life. And as D.L. Moody said, he can do a lot better with it than we can. And so he had a call. He even noticed this in 1 Corinthians 15:9. And Paul had a very humble spirit, because listen to what he says in 1 Corinthians 15:9. He says, "For I am the least of the apostles." Why did he say that? Well, we could speculate, but I believe the next phrase answers that question. He says, "That am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God." He's saying, one thing that sets me apart from those other apostles is that I persecuted the church. I persecuted Christ and His children. He was a humble man, but he was an apostle. Galatians 1 says, Paul, an apostle. And notice what it says, the qualification. Paul, an apostle, get it, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and the God and God the Father who raised Him from the dead. Do you realize what Paul is saying right there? He says, I am not apostle because of some man's idea. I'm not an apostle because of my idea. I'm an apostle because God decided I was going to be an apostle. It was God and God alone who made the decision. And my friends, in the calling on our lives, it is first going to come from God. It scared me as a new believer. I'd just been saved maybe a year, and I went to this charismatic church, and I had this guy come up to me, and he says, "I know the will of God for your life." I'm like, "Oh my, what do I do right here?" And he went on to tell me, some ministry they were promoting, and I think he was thinking that I might could join in, but I tell you, it scared me, and as soon as I left that meeting, I called my pastor, Brother Clements, who's mentored me, and he gave me some great counsel. And he said, "Don't go back." And I said, "All right, I won't go back to that meeting." But listen, not saying that other people cannot be an encouragement to the will of God God using people to help point you in the direction through counsel and encouragement. And we see that very often to confirm those things, especially when someone's called out of the church. It only makes sense that God has ordained that the church get behind that person. There's a unity there. There's an encouragement. And so, but the fact of the matter is, the call of God will primarily come to you first, to you. It will come to you first. That's what happened with Paul. It came to him. He didn't go to God for it. God came to him. 1 Timothy 1:1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, get this, by the commandment of God, our Savior. And by the way, the qualifications of a New Testament apostle was they were required to see the risen Savior. And so that's one of the things that you'll see in this apostolic movement and charismatic churches today. They declare that there are apostles for today. And I say, according to the Word of God, no, that's not right. That's false in the sense of the apostles that we see here. Why do I believe that? Because, number one, they had to see the risen Lord. Paul saw the risen Lord on the way to Damascus when he got born again. He saw Christ there. And he would hear from Christ directly again. We find in the Word of God, you read through the book of Acts, we see that Paul testifies himself in Galatians that Jesus Christ revealed himself to me. So it's very clear that Paul saw the risen Lord, but we also know that one of the qualifications was is that they indeed would give the revelation of God. In fact, they were vehicles of direct divine revelation. They were vessels for that. Hence, the Word of God was written by the apostles and by Paul. In fact, Jesus talks about that and Paul talks about it too, that it was indeed the apostles and the prophets that are the foundation to the church. And so we realize there that that is indeed the foundation has been built and the canon has been complete. And so the office of apostle in this context is no longer needed. Because let's think about it in a common sense perspective. How long do you build a foundation? The foundation was laid. The Word of God through the apostles and the prophets, it was laid, and now we are building upon that foundation. And so, again, he was an apostle. But let me move to an application point when it comes to the specific call upon your life. You say, Pastor, I have no idea what that means. Well, let me venture to shine some light on that truth of God's specific call on your life. You understand that God has put a place, put a purpose upon your life. And I would like to begin by saying, first of all, God has given you a call to fulfill a specific role. That role, and it could probably divide it in more ways than this, but this is what I'm dividing it in, is this morning. Everyone has a role here this morning. You have a role in your family. You have a role in your workplace. And you have a role in your church. That God has equipped you and empowered you and commanded you or called you to fulfill. The role as a dad. Daddy, you have a God-given call to be a faithful, Spirit-filled daddy. Mom, same. Husband, same. Wife, same. Children here, teenagers, same. You have been given the role of a child that it says to honor your father and mother. And let me say this, and I hope, young people, that you understand I am not being mean-spirited when I say this. Because I tremble even saying it myself, because I think about how serious it really is. But when the Bible tells you to honor your mother and father, listen, if you have a habit of dishonoring them and disrespecting them and disobeying them, do not call yourself a Christ follower. And I say that with a gracious spirit. I hope you understand that. Because the fact of the matter is, you as a follower of Jesus Christ understand that Jesus is the one that told us to honor our father and our mother. Obey Him in the Lord, because as you obey your parents in the Lord, you are doing it for Him. And so understand that that is a role that God has given you, a calling that is put on your life. And some young people say, I don't understand. I don't even hear from God. I don't even feel like I know God. And then they question that when they're being totally disrespectful and disobedient to mom and dad. No wonder you can't hear the voice of God. You need to repent and say, God, I am sorry. I have just been so ungrateful, so disrespectful. No wonder I can't hear your voice when I open my Bible. No wonder I can't get clarity from you. Lord, I want to just grow in grace and honor my mom and dad even when I disagree with them. And the truth could be said about each of your roles, by the way. Husband and wives, moms and dads, brothers and sisters. You have a role in your family that God's called on you. Your occupation, where God has you currently working. There are so many professions across this sanctuary right now. We have nurses. We have scientists. We have managers. We have people that work in accounting. We just have so many different types of workers out here. God has placed you in that. I hope you do not diminish your call that God has given you. I don't care what workplace it is. I don't care how much you get paid. I don't care what kind of recognition that you might get from the world. I want to tell you, if that is where God has called you for this season of your life, that is a very important call. Do not diminish that. God's put you in that place. It's your calling. Use it for His glory. It's likely areas that you succeed at and that you do well at. Some people think, I just don't know, have a calling on my life. I want to tell you, right where you are, if you are being led of the Lord and filled with His Spirit, right where He's got you is the call of God. And if you don't know, and if you doubt that, you get your heart in line with the Lord and say, Lord, where I am right now, I'm trusting You to call me. I'm trusting You to empower me. But if You have a different calling for my life, Lord, I want it. God blesses all kinds of people who are out in the workplace living for Jesus Christ. God can use anybody. God can even use used car salesmen. Used car salesmen, that's right. One of the most godly men I know, Brother Billy McPherson, Whiteville, North Carolina, sells used cars. And he's a deacon in the church. And I want to tell you, Brother Billy is a Spirit-filled man who loves Jesus Christ and who is a witness of the Lord right where he's at. Because Billy has determined that's God's calling on his life. Don't be ashamed of your calling when you know it's from God. Now, if you're currently doing something and you know it's not of God, then you just get that right. And say, Lord, change my direction. I want to be in Your will. I want to be called of You and do what You want me to do. But then we also see there's a specific call on people's lives concerning the church. God's called every one of His children to be a member of a New Testament Bible-believing church. There are no exceptions. And God has called you, and not only has He called you to be a member of a New Testament church, but then He's called you to be faithfully serving in that church, using your gifts for the Lord. Everybody's got a gift. Everybody's a part of the body, and everybody's important. And it's for you to get with God and say, God, You've given me these desires. You've given me these abilities, You've given me these talents, and God, whatever that desire is, You say, Lord, how can I use that in the function of the local church ministry? And you do that. That's your calling. It may not be a teacher. It may not be a preacher or a singer. Listen, I want to tell you, it does not matter. Those things aren't any more important than what you are going to be called to do, because the call of God is what's important. That's what we emphasize. We answer and live out the call of God in our lives. And so we just do it. You see here, Paul was called to be an apostle. And he fulfilled that. He lived out his life. And so I'm praying this morning as I preach this message that we would all understand what our call is. There may be some here this morning, and maybe you have been thinking about a specific call that you're afraid of. Maybe you're fearful of. But you know what? If the Lord is leading you and you're in line with Him, you're reading the Word of God and you're in right with God, and you feel like the Spirit's leading you that, I'm telling you, do it. God's not going to leave you hanging. He's going to give you the grace that you need. He's going to wrap His loving arms around you through the whole process, even when it is scary. God will empower you and encourage you along the way, even if it means suffering for Him in the process. Because we are called to suffer for righteousness' sake. And I hope we'll all let that grip us to the point of true personal revival and obedience to Him. You see, Paul was an apostle, but secondly, we see Paul was separated unto the gospel of God. And I think I'm going to stop there this morning. We'll pick back up tonight, but let me say this, please, friends. Don't shut me down yet. What's God calling you this morning? What is He calling you to? He's calling us to a life of holiness, a life of faith and victory. He's calling you to fulfill your roles as His child. And will you answer that this morning? Will you stop making excuses? Will you stop pointing the finger at someone else or something else or your circumstance and say, God, this is the calling that is clear in my life and I am going to do it. This is a divine call. This is the place and purpose You have picked out for me. And God, we're going to do it. Because when you don't do it, you will find yourself spiritually stagnant. Well, you are not moving forward by faith. My friends, once you know, hey, I'm answering the call of God upon these universal areas, but even these specific areas, Lord, I am surrendering afresh to You. You'll see a lot of things open up, brethren, that you never even dreamed of. Well, I'm telling you, brethren, it's awesome. I ain't gonna lie, sometimes, boy, it's scary. You take that step of obedience. But oh, it's so, so worth it. It's the right thing to do. The purpose of your life. Your purpose of your life is to first come to know Christ and find Him as your Master, your Savior, your King. And then if I could just say this, maybe we could close it out with this right here. I didn't get all my message in, but I'm trying to preach shorter messages. And all God's people said, just kidding. Okay. But finish with this statement right here. I'm just going to use my name, okay? You put your name in here. But I wrote this out and I have blanks here. I, Brinson Jennings, will serve Jesus Christ, serve, be a slave, serve Jesus Christ as a husband, as a daddy, and as a pastor. For what purpose? For the distinct purpose of proclaiming the gospel. And I didn't get into that second point. And tonight we're going to talk about the importance of being separated unto the gospel. That's a very powerful word. And I would encourage you to put your name in those blanks and to say dogmatically, I am a servant of Jesus Christ and I will serve Him as an engineer, as a teacher, for the purpose, the distinct purpose of being separated unto the gospel of God. Let's pray together.